So we're looking at Mark 10, the story of Bartimaeus. And in that story, we see that life is difficult. And the reality is, life is difficult. There are many disappointments. There's much pain through so much of our life. I've only been here for, maybe 3 months, 4 months. And already I know many of you well enough to know that right now in this room, there are people that are suffering. There are those of us who are struggling. There are issues of sickness around the church. Some people with serious illness and friends that are unwell. There are relational difficulties. There's problems at work or at home. Brokenness, it's in all of our lives. And if we're not suffering now, the sad reality is that at some point in our lives, we will all experience suffering. But it's not just in this room, actually, is it? The pain and the suffering happens all around us. It happens in Potter's Bar, it happens in this country. The endless reels of stats that come out don't make for good reading. There's apparently a huge growing problem of loneliness. Many people spend day after day with no one visiting them. They can go weeks without seeing a single person. It's tragic. There's confusion around identity. Many of our children are growing up in a world where they are... Hello. I did make the mistake of saying children. But the world that our children are growing up in is confusing. They don't know what to think. They don't know who they are. And the stats say that mental health is... problems are going through the roof. And then you look at the political landscape and many people look across at the debates and don't know what to think anymore. Don't know what party to back. In fact, some would even say that the Western move is crumbling, is struggling. There is suffering and there is pain, there is difficulty, confusion all around us. And maybe right now it's more acute, but the truth is that is just human experience, isn't it? Throughout all of history, that has been the struggle of people. And actually, probably the path of the world right now, we have much to be thankful for. Well, the reason I say that is because today, in today's story, we see a blind man who is needy, who is the lowest of the low. He knows what it is to suffer. But his response is amazing. He's this blind man, and yet he has spiritual sight that is way over and above what many of us have. And he sees his need. He cries for mercy and he sees how Jesus is powerful and merciful. And we get to see it as well. So the story starts this morning. And it's in verse 46 where it starts. They come to Jericho. That's Jesus and his disciples. They come to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. So Jesus and his disciples, they've been traveling along the road and they were going to Jerusalem for the Passover, for a festival. And as they've gone, they've come to this city of Jericho. It's a rich city. It's quite prosperous. There's many religious leaders there, and as they're leaving, they've gathered a bit of a crowd around them. And they're all following Jesus, and they're talking to Jesus and asking him questions as they go along. And this crowd is getting bigger, and it's probably quite a jolly crowd as they're going off to the Passover festival. And the disciples, I suspect they're looking out and they're going, "We've done quite well here. We've backed the right guy. Look at this crowd around." And they thought that as he arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus would overthrow the Roman rule and things would go well for the Jews there and then. It's easy to see why when Jesus predicted time and time again that he would have to suffer and he would have to die, that the disciples going, "Well, look at this. Looks like it's going okay." But this blind man, this Bartimaeus, he gives them and he gives us a real lesson. Because Bartimaeus, he sees his desperate need. Shows us our desperate need. So they're leaving the city and they see a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, and he's sitting by the roadside begging. Bartimaeus is blind. He lived in a world of darkness. And I imagine being blind now is very difficult, that everything you do has this issue of being blind around it. But even with Braille and with people helping you and many systems around, imagine what it was like back then. This man probably had to feel his way along the road, or maybe he was led, and would sit in the same place every morning, sit there day after day with his mat in front of him, asking for handouts. He's there begging, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. All he has is just a gift that has been handed to him. Imagine he's feeling a lack of purpose. Like, he's so low on the social ladder. And it wasn't just being financially poor that was his problem. Because notice the detail, it says he was sitting by the roadside. He's there sitting by the roadside. What's everyone else doing? They're travelling. They're walking past him. They're going to Jerusalem for the festival. Life is passing Bartimaeus by. He's left there, forgotten, maybe with the odd handout. He's low down the pecking order. He's powerless. He's needy. He's also us. I'm sure all of us have had desperate times, times of suffering where life seems to pass us by, where we seem to be the ones that are forgotten. All of us have had times where all we can seem to do is cry out for help, times where the darkness seems so dark that we're blind to any good news. That's when we get to verse 47, where we read, "When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" So somehow, Bartimaeus had heard reports of this Jesus. Him and the beggars must have got together and they'd heard this report of a man called Jesus who was healing people. He was bringing sight to the blind. He was going out and looking after people like them, the needy, the poor, the marginalised. Jesus was going to them. And suddenly, Bartimaeus has some hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. He can see that Jesus is coming. Maybe this is his chance of some hope. And he calls out to Jesus, "Son of David." Son of David, that's an important term. What does that mean? It's a name that says that Bartimaeus believes that Jesus is the king. In fact, Jesus is the promised king that was promised many years ago that was going to reign forever and make everything right. Bartimaeus is saying, this Jesus, he's the Messiah. He believes, only from a report, but he believes. And he's needy. And I think when you're needy, what do you need? You cry out for someone with power to fix it. And he knows Jesus has the power to make things right. In fact, I think there's a bit of a direct correlation. The more need you're in, I think the more you cry out for someone with power. The more desperate your situation, the more you plead for someone, somewhere that could fix this, please. I think that's what he's doing. You see, the brokenness of the world, the more suffering, the more you cry out. And Bartimaeus' problem is serious. I don't want to minimise his problem, but I think any of our suffering now is just a warning light to a bigger problem. Any suffering we experience now is actually showing us there is something bigger that is wrong. It's like a warning light in a car saying there's something wrong with the whole car. There's an issue, it's flashing, it's blinking at us to get our attention. It's like if you have a rash. That's not the biggest problem. It's a sign that there might be a disease running through your body and you need to go and you need to find help. You need to find a doctor, a cure. I think that's what suffering is like. It is a pointer to us that there is a bigger problem. C.S. Lewis said that pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. See, suffering is often seen as a bit of a problem for Christians, isn't it? People say, how can I believe in God if there's suffering in the world? I think it's a good question. I think we have answers for that. It's a good question. But actually, I think that often Christianity makes the most sense in the midst of pain and of suffering, because it is there that we realise that something is deeply wrong. It's when we see pain that we cry out for someone to help us. We cry out for someone to help us, for someone to fix the world. And if that's the case, then maybe these unsettling times, they're an opportunity for people to see and to have their deepest needs fixed. And we pray that that would be the case. The people in their suffering, they would get to meet the only one who has the power to save them truly. See, sometimes suffering, it's a sign of our sin. If I say something horrible to Peter, then we might find our relationship is slightly broken, Peter. I'm sorry I said it. But you might find there's some, and it's a sign that my sin needs sorting out, needs dealing with. But other times, it's just that the world is broken. Our bodies are broken. Because the world has been under the effect of sin ever since Adam and Eve turned away from God. The world is groaning because it's broken. And we feel the effects. We know the effects. Some of the things I listed earlier are the effects of sin on the world. I think that's what's happened for Bartimaeus. I don't think he's done anything wrong to cause him to be blind. directly. But he's blind because the world is broken. And he knows that he is needy. He knows his suffering. It causes him to cry out, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me," he cries out. And notice he says, "Have mercy." He has to ask for mercy because he knows he has no hope within himself. He's powerless to make himself see. He's not going to concoct enough positive thinking. If I can see, I can see, I can see, and then he can't do that, can he? You can't positively think yourself to see, to reverse the effects of the fall. He can't do anything to climb up the social ladder himself. And on top of that, he has nothing to offer Jesus. He doesn't go to Jesus and say, "But I'm a good man, Jesus. I've done enough good things. Please show me some, do this for me." He's not like the rich young ruler. In fact, he's like as Jesus told us to be. He's like a little child. He cries out to his God, "Help me, save me." He sees his only hope is to desperately to cry for mercy. And he says, "David, Son of David, have mercy on me." He pleads, he cries again and again, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me." So much so that it's annoying the onlookers. "Have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Listen to my cry." He repeats it time and time again to the point that the crowd actually react. And they say, verse 48, "Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet." And not just one or two, but many of this massive crowd are saying, "Pipe down. We don't want to hear about your problems. We don't want to hear about your issues. Get back in your place and stay quiet." When put like that, when we see it, it is horrible. They would ignore him, push him to the side, get him back onto his beggar's mat. But aren't we like that? Often we don't want to hear about the struggles of others. We just want to get on with our own lives. But Bartimaeus, he hears these rebukes. They're telling him to be quiet. What does Bartimaeus do? He knows his need. His only option is to cry out. He cries out. He shouts all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." His cry would be so loud. Imagine this crowd. There's so many people. And he is shouting over and above them all. So to the point where they're having to tell him to quieten down. Apparently the word that is used for shout here is the same word that is used in the Bible for a woman in labour that is groaning. This is a dit now. That is a loud cry. I've been in the room, I'm not going to talk about Laura, but I could hear people in the other room. But this sort of deep yearning, this deep cry out, "I need you, Jesus, to show me mercy. I'm lost. I'm helpless. I'm struggling." The more desperate we realize we are lost, we are needy, the more we will cry out. Bartimaeus had a great need. He knows his only hope is to approach Jesus and ask for mercy. When we have great need, we should do the same. Our prayers should sound like this cry of, "Have mercy on me, Jesus." Now, so far, Bartimaeus has identified his problem. He's cried out. But actually, that doesn't do anyone any good unless there's a cure. You might identify a sickness you have, but if there's no cure, it's hopeless. But fortunately, Bartimaeus sees Jesus. And Jesus is willing. He's willing to help. And Jesus is able to help. He has the power to help. Bartimaeus is crying out for mercy, and what does Jesus do? Jesus stops. He's walking along the road, and he hears the cry, and he stops. This is the most beautiful part of this passage. Imagine him walking along, and he stops, and he turns to look at Bartimaeus. He turns to look at the man that everyone else was ignoring. Because Jesus is kinder, is more gracious than anyone that has ever lived. He stops for this man that no one had any time for. Because Jesus will always listen to a cry for mercy. He will listen to the lowest of the low. He listens to whoever is crying out to him. And he doesn't treat it like an interruption. He delights to hear the cry. And here's a wonderful thing. He still does that now. when we pray this afternoon, you can stop and you can pray. And Jesus, the ruler of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, he listens. Isn't that amazing? You might feel that no one in the world has any time for you, that no one wants to listen to you. You're not respected at work. You're considered irrelevant as you age. But this afternoon, you can have an audience with the King. We're never alone. We can always cry out to him. And just remember what's going on for Jesus. He's going to Jerusalem. He's traveling the road. What does he know is going to happen when he gets there? He knows that in Jerusalem, he faces death. He will carry our sin. Now, if I was Jesus, I think I would consider that a good excuse for me saying, not now, Bartimaeus. I've got some things on my mind. I've got a lot going on. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. Jesus stops and he turns. And what does he do? He asks people to call him over. Who does he ask? He asks the people that were saying, pipe down. Jesus turns to them saying, oh yes, you lot. Could you please go and call that man that you were just saying to be quiet? So off he goes. Jesus goes and tells them. And now this is where my imagination goes wild. What did they say? Like, quiet him down. They're rebuking him. And then, when I said be quiet, actually I meant get up. He's calling you. Let's come and see Jesus. I mean, I love what Jesus does. He could call him himself. Jesus could call him. Of course he could. But he gets the others to do it. Now, why? Well, I think there's two points. I think it's clear. One, he is teaching the disciples and those around. He's saying, look who I'm coming for. I come for everyone, even the very lowest, the very weakest. And he's showing that he cares for people using people. And that is still true today. The needy people of the world, the needy people of Potter's Bar, are cared for by Jesus through the church. That's our privilege and our responsibility. We get to be the ones that get to do it. Verse 50, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. This blind man, I love the picture of him. He's going through the crowds, finding Jesus. He's full of excitement and joy just to cling on to Jesus. And then we get this amazing question, verse 51. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Remember who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is King of the universe. Now, many of us have a picture of God where we imagine if he came down, he would throw down the orders at us. He would insist that he would be served. But listen to Jesus. He asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? This is Jesus saying that he has come here to serve. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Do we see that, Jesus? Isn't that remarkable? When we think who he is, and he's come down to serve this blind man that everyone else ignored. And Bartimaeus, what does he ask for? Well, maybe slightly obviously, he asked to see. And Jesus, he's not just merciful, but he is powerful. He has the ability to open his eyes. And Bartimaeus, his eyes are opened. What's the first thing he sees? He sees Jesus. He opens his eyes and his first sight is his King and his Saviour, Jesus. It's an invitation into relationship saying, I've opened your eyes and now you can see me. We are now in relationship together. And I think this is a hint of what we Christians, anyone who trusts in Jesus, will experience in the new creation in heaven. Because there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, but maybe even more than that. The veil will have gone and we will see Jesus face to face. This story is a little picture of what we will experience then. It's delightful. But we've heard that question before, haven't we? If you're alert, you will have noticed that last week, as we looked at the passage, there was the same question. Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? And Jesus is now asking Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Exactly the same words. Last time it was to James and John, this time it's to Bartimaeus. And Jesus is bringing up, as a gentle rebuke, to remind James and John and to teach us, the very different ways that they have approached him. Last week we saw that James and John, they approached Jesus, and they approached him in a demanding and arrogant way. They knew Jesus was the king. They appreciated he was the Messiah. But they approached him with their demands. Do you remember what they said? We want you to do for us whatever we ask. Ludicrous. It's not how you talk to your Savior, your God. And they ask for something out of complete selfish ambition. How does Bartimaeus approach Jesus? He humbly seeks mercy. He knew that Jesus was God. He knew that he was unworthy to approach him. He knew that he was unworthy to deserve anything from God. But what did he also know? He knew that God was merciful. And he could approach him because Jesus would show him mercy, and that is what he receives. So how does that affect us when we pray, when we're suffering, and we pray? We humbly seek mercy. There are some things that we can expect for sure, for certain. We can be sure that if we believe and trust in Jesus, we will be saved from our greatest and our deepest need and danger. If we cry out to Jesus, forgive me, that is a prayer that always receives a yes. And we are saved from our sin and from the judgment our sin deserves. And we can be sure, if we believe and trust in Jesus, that we are guaranteed the hope of that day. We are guaranteed the hope of that day when our eyes will see Jesus and there will be no more crying, no more suffering. We can be sure of that day. And we can be sure that in the middle of our suffering, we're never alone. If you're suffering now and you're a Christian, Jesus is with you and he listens to you. And we should pray. It's right for us to pray. God wants to hear our prayers asking for suffering to be removed. We should do that. But we do that in the right posture. We know that we don't deserve it, and we approach God saying, please show me mercy. We approach God knowing that what we're to expect now in this life is a life of suffering and rejection and laying down our life as we wait for the day. And we know that God is wise and God is good, and that he might be doing something in our lives that is way bigger than we even realise. Got a question? I think this is true of many of us. When is the time when you feel closest to God? You look back over your life and you think, when have I been closest to God? When have I learned the most about myself, the most about God? I suspect for many of us, it will be through hard and difficult times. Through the black backdrop of life, we see how bright and how glimmering and shiny is the hope and the joy of knowing Jesus. God is at work in even the most dark of times. Let's not despise them. And I think that's because the greater our awareness of our need, of how weak we are, the more we appreciate the grace and the mercy that Jesus shows us. And then the story ends. So Bartimaeus, his life is turned completely upside down. Verse 52, Jesus says, go. Go, and Bartimaeus receives his sight. Now imagine all the things that Bartimaeus must have been picturing as he sat there day after day going, if only I could see, what would I go and do? Imagine what my life would be like if I would go and see, if I could see. But does he run off and go and do those things? Does he run off and see his family? Where does he go? He follows Jesus. He follows Jesus. He follows him. He can't take his eyes off him. He wants to be as close to him as possible. And where does he follow him? He follows him on the road to Jerusalem. And I like to think, I mean, I don't know, but I like to think that what does he see in Jerusalem? Well, he gets to see how Jesus is merciful to us. He would see Jesus taking our sin and our suffering and our guilt and putting it on himself so we are rid of it. And I like to think he saw the resurrected, the raised Jesus in victory, saying, this is a hint and a sample of the day when you will be with me again. and our bodies will be fixed, and there will be no pain and no sickness, and you'll be with me. Now, I don't know whether he saw those things or not. But what we do know is we know that Bartimaeus had such a clear view of sin and of its effects in the world. And we know that he cried out to Jesus for mercy. And we know he received it and he kept his eyes fixed on him. And when we know our need, when we cry out to Jesus for mercy, to forgive us, to save us, we receive his mercy. And how could we not keep our eyes fixed on him? Fixed on our wonderful, our merciful, our lovely Jesus. And we follow him along the way. Let me pray. Oh, Jesus, I thank you that we can pray to you, that you hear our prayer. Lord, I thank you that is even a possibility, that we can approach our God and you stop to listen. Lord, we and this town are broken and we are needy, we are sinful, we are guilty. We feel the effects of the broken world around us and we cry out for mercy for ourselves and for this town. We thank you for Jesus and his display of mercy, that it was effective at the cross and the proof of that day of the new creation that the resurrection is. Jesus, help us to follow you along the way. Amen.